Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Would you stand and sing with us, please? It's a little bit fast, so try to keep up.
One, two,
breathe
three,
deep.
Four, and...
Sometimes you gotta dance through the darkness, sing through the fire, praise when it don't make sense. Sometimes you gotta stare down the giant, worship from the lion's den. Sometimes you gotta shout from the mountain, louder in the valley, trusting that he's gonna get you there. Sometimes you gotta welcome the wonder, wait for the answer, worship with your hands in the air. I'll praise you anywhere. Praise, give a praise, give a praise in the highest. Praise, give a praise, give a praise in the highest. He is worthy, yes, he is worthy of all of the praise. Sometimes you gotta praise in the prison, cry out to heaven, shout till the doors swing wide. Sometimes you gotta stand on your shackles, brave in the battle, worship with your hands held high. I'll praise you anywhere. Praise, give a praise, give a praise in the highest. Praise, give a praise, give a praise in the highest. He is worthy, yes, he is worthy of all of the praise. Give a praise, give a praise in the highest. Praise, give a praise, give a praise in the highest. He is worthy, yes, he is worthy of all of the praise. Faithful all my life, blessings day and night, countless reasons why. I'll praise you anywhere, every promise kept, goodness every step, each and every breath. I'll praise you anywhere, faithful all my life, blessings day and night, countless reasons why. I'll praise you anywhere, every promise kept, goodness every step, each and every breath. I'll praise you anywhere. Praise, give a praise, give a praise in the highest. Praise, give a praise, give a praise in the highest. He is worthy, yes, he is worthy of all of the praise.
God's people said, amen. Please be seated.
Greetings and blessings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for being here this morning. Peace be with you. We're glad that you're here. I want you to be sure and look at your bulletin that has all the activities that are coming up in the life of the church. Also, remember to take it home with you. Put it on your fridge. Stay connected, because that's an important part of being the body of Christ. Do you want to welcome them too?
Sí.
Sí.
Buenos días. Yo no soy Clarita, mi nombre es Ofelia Salinas. Y estamos muy contentos y agradecidos con este hermoso día. Bienvenidos al culto. Welcome.
Thank you. And now let us turn our hearts and minds to Christ. We're going to spend time this morning both using English and Spanish. So if you're a Spanish speaker, I hope you find comfort and peace in that. If you're an English speaker, I hope that you find comfort and peace in that. Amen?
Amen. Por favor, estemos de pie en cuerpo y espíritu mientras damos la bienvenida a la luz de Cristo.
Please stand in body or spirit as we welcome the light of Christ.
I'm sorry.
La lectura de esta mañana se encuentra en el libro de Hebreos, capítulo 11, verso 1. Y dice, y la fe es la confianza de lo que esperamos y la certeza de lo que no vemos. Proverbios 5, Proverbios 3, 5 y 6 dice: Confía en el Señor con todo tu corazón y no te apoyes en tu propio entendimiento. Sométanse todos a Él, sus caminos Él enderezará sus sendas.
From Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways submit to Him and He will make your paths straight. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, bless you, Lord, source of your faith. Today we come before you with a confidence of hope and assuredness in things unseen. Help us strengthen our faith to walk in your path and to stand firm against any challenge. Blessed are you, Lord, the strengthener of our faith. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Praise Band. At this time, we would like to ask our Lucis Pequeñas Kids Choir to come forward, and they are going to play Amazing Grace for us on the handbells. All right. Take your places, kiddos. All right, are we ready? Yes. Are we happy to be here? Woo! Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, Miss Michelle, we are ready. Good job, kiddos. Thank you all so much. Take a bow. We're going to go ahead and put our handbells on the pew there, and I'm going to invite all children to exit with us out the back for Spark Worship.
Y'all were awesome. Can we give them a hand again? That was amazing. Woo! And thank you, Jesse, and all the helpers. What an amazing gift. So we come together to pray corporately as a body of believers. And I'll lift some prayers before you and ask you to respond at the end of each one. Lord, hear our prayers. We'll end with the Lord's Prayer, but we'll also do the Lord's Prayer in Spanish. So if you know it in Spanish, Ophelia will be helping us lead that, okay? So let us go before God in prayer. Gracious God, we come before you today as a community gathered in your love. We lift our hearts in gratitude for the gifts of this church, a place of refuge, fellowship, growth, and faith. We thank you for the blessings you have bestowed upon us, the strength found in shared worship and in the love that binds us together as your children. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for all who are part of our larger community, both near and far. We lift up those who are struggling, the sick and the weary, the lost and the lonely, the burdened and downtrodden. Grant them your healing touch, your comforting presence, and a home that shines bright through your love. Lord, Guide us, O God, as we reach out to those in need. Fill us with compassion and courage to share your message of love and salvation. And may our actions reflect the teachings of Jesus Christ, bringing solace to the hurting and light into the darkness. Lord, we pray for unity within our church, Lord. Forgive us when our differences and imperfections cause conflict. Help us to see beyond our individual needs and focus on the greater purpose you have for us. Grant us wisdom to listen and learn from one another and build bridges of understanding and love. Lord, we pray, O Lord, for those who have not yet found their way to you. We pray for open hearts and receptive minds. May the seeds of faith we plant bear fruit, drawing them closer to your loving embrace. Lord, bless our church, dear God. Keep it as a beacon of hope in the world. May it be a place where all are welcome, where burdens are lifted, where your love shines through. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we now pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, first in English and then in Spanish. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Padre nuestro que estás en los cielos, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy el pan nuestro de cada día y perdona nuestras ofensas como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos han ofendido. Y no nos dejes caer en tentación, mas líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, el poder y la gloria por los siglos. Amén.
Amén. We're done. Thank you.
We're done.
Mm-hmm. Well, for this part. Thank you. You are such a faithful group of people, rooted in faith, growing in love, reaching out in hope together as a family. And this is easy to see for all of you who serve God right here faithfully, week in and week out, using your time and your talents and your gifts and your service and your witness. Faith naturally leads us to love God and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves and to give back to the community. One of the ways that you have been giving to this community was during church work days. And it is work, isn't it? That's where we put our Christian love into action and contribute to the care of this church. And right before Easter, our trustees called a church work day. And many of you came and showed your faith in action by showing up Saturday morning to make the church welcoming and comfortable, just so others might enjoy worship and other church activities. That day, many of you here pulled weeds. You planted flowers. You trimmed the bushes and the trees. And you washed windows. All the windows. You did an amazing job, but I kind of want to highlight today another big task that took place that day on that Saturday morning. Several of you came to clear a dead tree out by the parsonage. That tree had threatened to crash into either the house or into the power lines that were over it. And that big old oak tree, well, it had been here for many, many years. Its branches were gnarled and knotted as they stretched across the side in the backyard like a protective hand. But time and the relentless foe of weather, drought, and then ice claimed that tree. And once what was vital and green and alive was now brittle and really dead. That morning, the crew started out with optimism. Yeah, they were going to claim that tree, they were going to cut it down, and they were going to be successful. And that part of that small team that gathered together optimistically at first, strategizing, was Dick Baldwin. I already told him I was going to talk about him. John Den, J.B. Briggs, and a couple of Boy Scouts all showed up with this optimism to survey the situation. They were so confident that they could get that tree down safely, quickly, and efficiently. Do you have a picture of the trees, Susan? There they were. Uh-huh, it gets better. So they hooked up a pulley to the truck, and the pulley went all the way around the yard and over to the tree, because they were afraid if they pulled that tree down, it could either fall into the house or fall on the power lines that were very, very close. And so they were smart about this. Little engineers hoisted that thing together, put a pulley together, hooked it to John's truck, and then were going to pull it out. And that's what they did. And they pulled, and they pulled, and they pulled, and that tree did not come down. They couldn't get it down. And so they thought, okay, I know what we need to do. We'll chop the roots. And if we chop the roots, right, Smitty? Because they had done that with another tree recently. If we chop the roots, then we'll surely be able to pull this tree down safely. Because you see, it was in that awkward place. And they didn't want it to crash in anything. So they put their focus on uncovering the roots and chopping them with an axe. But these roots, they had snaked out from the tree. And they were huge, like Popeye's forearm. And they tried again and again and again. That tree could not be pulled down. Each one of them took a turn with the axe, even the young ones, and hit and hit and hit. Susan Dolenik and I had a lot of fun just watching them at the tree. And they continued to hack at those roots and pull at that tree. And guess what? Minutes turned into hours, and they could not get this tree down because it had deep roots. Oh, were they frustrated? So really, these minutes turned into hours, and they were there with their sweat and dirt and now blistered hands and sore. And even though they even tried the chainsaw, they got to eventually use the chainsaw, and the chainsaw died. But that was after they got the tree cut down to what, a root? I mean, the stump was about 4 feet tall, Dick. And they said, that's safe enough for today. They got the tree, some of the wood hauled off, and others came. And Dick Baldwin told me recently someone came and took the rest of the tree down to the ground. They used a chainsaw. In the end, they finally, their tenacity won out. This tree is a monument to nature's enduring strength, and it is a reminder of what we learned that day, that deep roots hold strong. Deep roots hold strong. Oh, that our faith would be as strong as the roots that held that oak tree up. Wouldn't that be something? So first we heard from the reading in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is confidence of what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Faith is confidence, hope, assurance in God. So now let us consider the other scripture for this morning that is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. You can find that in your pew Bible in the NRSV version on page 1065 if you want to read along. I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. So will you now listen for a word from God? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and depth and height, to know the love of Christ that surpasses all understanding, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. So today we start a series, a 4-week series on how we as United Methodists are rooted in faith, growing in love, reaching in hope together as a family. And we begin this week with Rooted in Faith, which is kind of a perfect time to talk about it because Monday, tomorrow, is Earth Day. It's a day where all religions and all people consider the good earth that our God made and our responsibility communally to take care of this earth that God entrusted to us. And we can liken our faith to a tree with deep roots that provides a strong foundation. Roots of faith equals strong faith. And just as the roots anchor a tree against strong wind, against any kind of shift, strong roots will help us to be stable in our faith and help us to face any of life's challenges. Spiritual roots give us a sense of purpose, direction, inner peace during difficult times. When we are rooted in faith, we are able best to absorb spiritual nourishment. We then become a source of strength and comfort to others as our spiritual teachings and practices nourish our souls. And being rooted in faith allows us to grow strong. And it is the absolute foundation for every follower of Jesus, connecting us to a vast network of God's grace. This is so important. And the strength of a foundation is so important. But I'm a little concerned that this week, in particular, our faith might be tested yet again. See, this is the week that we gather for General Conference of the United Methodist Church. It begins April 23rd and goes all the way to May 4th. And it is a perfect time for us to contemplate the strength and tenacity of our roots as United Methodist. Now, for those of you who are not methocentric nerds like me, I'm like a Methodist nerd, then you may not know anything about General Conference. Well, do you have that slide for General Conference, Susan? Oh, they're talking. General Conference slide? There it is. So this is Charlotte, North Carolina, where they're gathering. Even today as we speak, people from all over the world are gathering in Charlotte to be about the work of the General Conference of the United Methodist Church. The General Conference meets once every 4 years. So this is kind of historical, and it's time travel. Because the last time General Conference was able to meet was in 2016. That's because COVID got in the way and we couldn't get all our delegates from all over the world to join. And so they're really doing the General Conference of 2020 and 2024 together. Aren't we amazing Methodists that we can do that kind of time travel? So, General Conference delegates meet together to discuss and ratify or throw out hundreds of petitions to the Book of Discipline, the United Methodist Book of Discipline. And you see, any United Methodist member or organization, clergy or layperson, can write a petition. And basically, a petition is the equivalent to a bill before the legislature. Now, because it's been nearly 8 years since the last meeting together, there were a lot of petitions to the Book of Discipline. As a matter of fact, I heard that they have received 1,099 petitions, including 352 new petitions submitted since 2020, that the delegates will have to consider. If you want to learn more about General Conference, please go to umc.org and just type in 2024 General Conference. I will probably be watching it, as you can too, virtually, during the whole two-week proceedings. We can see what they're talking about and what petitions come before the floor. I fully anticipate that you're going to see more and more stories about the United Methodist General Conference in the news. It's already started. So if you have friends that know you attend a United Methodist church, they're going to ask you, what is happening with you, Methodist? And I hope and I pray that you get the most reliable source of information about the General Conference from umc.org. Just trust for General Conference. Just search for that. Because trust me, finding True and complete information is foundational to our understanding of the issues that are facing the United Methodist Church. Now, personally, I have always found it refreshing and awe-inspiring that the United Methodist Church has what's been called by many big tent theology. And what that means is that we have a place for everyone at our table. It means that we say as United Methodists that we can find unity even in our differences. And that's what it means to be a United Methodist. Every day I get information, I get articles sent from me from well-meaning friends and family. My sister Debbie sends me at least one article a day about what she's seen in the news about the United Methodist Church. Does that happen to you? No? Oh, it will this week. Because people like to share the media sound bites that we get and short clips that try to describe the United Methodist Church and what we believe. You may also hear rumors, rumors of fractures and disunity, but I'm here to tell you that the Spirit of God is alive and well working in the United Methodist Church. Can I get an amen? Alive and well, God is working in the United Methodist Church. And I have faith. I have faith that the General Conference will look for ways to strengthen our connection in unity and love. You see, getting the foundation right is so important. Think about it when you build a house. We know that a strong foundation is crucial to the stability and longevity of your home. Likewise, a strong faith acts as a foundation for our very life. And just as a well-built house allows the house to withstand storms and earthquakes, strong faith will help us to navigate the challenges and uncertainties of life. Honestly, when I deal with families all the time with losses, I know without a strong faith, they crumble. How do they do it without a strong faith? With our faith, we can weather any storm. And that is our foundation. So you might be wondering, what is the foundation of the United Methodist Church? I'm glad you asked. Here's our core beliefs. One, the Bible holds the highest authority in matters of faith and practice. Two, God's universal love and desire for everyone's salvation. Three, the Holy Spirit's role in sanctification, that is the process of growing in grace and becoming more Christ-like. Four, the importance of good works and life reflecting our faith. One of the things that I most love about the United Methodist Church and what drew me into this church originally was our openness to interpretation. John Wesley said this in his sermon called Catholic Spirit. Though we cannot think alike, may we not love alike? Take that to Thanksgiving dinner. Though we cannot all think alike, can we not love alike? Wesley said that disagreements about religious practices and beliefs should not hinder Christian love and fellowship. Wesley believed that despite theological differences, Christians could unite in love of God and others. This sentiment is central to Wesleyan theology, and this is what it means to be a United Methodist. To remind us about what it means to be Methodist, sometimes we look to creeds or affirmations of faith. Now, United Methodists are not what you would call creedal people. You don't have to raise your hand and say a creed in order to join the church. But we use creeds as a way to solid our foundation of faith in what we believe. One of my favorite creeds is in your United Methodist hymnal on page 883, I believe. Would you pull your hymnal out and look at it with me? You know, the Methodist hymnal has in it nine creeds, different creeds, and affirmations of faith. These declare what we believe in our unity. They affirm our unity in Christ alone. And we, when we say them, join with those followers and believers who wrote the creeds, with those in the interim years who said the creeds, and for those who will come behind us that we don't even know who will say these creeds. 883, did you find it? It's called A Statement of Faith of the United Church of Canada. Some of you are familiar with this creed. Will you say it with me, please? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. This just about says it all. And this is the kind of thing that creeds do to help us put words to our faith. It is simple. It's a simple reminder of who we are and whose we are. And as this creed proclaims, this kind of faith is not a stationary kind of faith, but one of dynamic purpose. See, faith is an action word as well. And our faith calls us to love God and to love others and to seek justice and to resist evil in whatever form it finds itself in your life. To proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge, our hope in this life and in the life beyond. And it is part of our deeply held beliefs and roots that bind us together as Christians in unity and love. So why are these deep roots of faith so important? I'm glad you asked again. I know you were thinking about it. It's important to have these words come to mind and be easy to recall because life is hard. Things are difficult and we are going to face challenges. And sometimes our faith is even going to be sorely tested. I personally have been challenged within the past 2 years because of the propaganda and pain brought about through separation in the United Methodist Church. It's true. And without a strong faith foundation, without my roots being in Christ Jesus, my faith would have toppled me over like a tree that's not rooted well. And I would have been a hot mess because this topic is so painful and so destructive. And honestly, it feels like we've been going through a 2-year separation and divorce with the requisite arguments over legal property and financial entangling. And it has been challenging, my friends. And we will all face challenges in this life. Either we will or we have. You can't get through this life without challenges. So often I turn to many different ways to strengthen my faith. What do you do to strengthen your faith? Because they're like muscles. You got to use them or they atrophy. And one of the ways I love to strengthen my faith is through song. I find a great source of strength and fun and knowledge in song. I used to buy recordings of scripture, and like Jesse does with the little kids, I just put them in my car and sing along and memorize scripture. I love to sing about faith because it bolsters me. There's a song that we sang by Robert Ray. The song is called "He Never Failed Me Yet." You know it? Sing it with me. I will sing of God's mercy. Every day, every hour, He gives me power. I will sing and give thanks to Thee for every danger, toil, and snares that He has brought me out. He is my God, and I'll serve Him no matter what the test. Trust and never doubt, Jesus will surely bring you out. He's never failed me yet. Amen? Amen. Robert Ray. Sharon Winfield and I sang that song together when we were in choir back in the Stone Ages. When we sang in choir together. And that song to me speaks powerfully of strength in our faith in God. Because with a strong faith, with roots like that oak tree had, Dick Baldwin, we too can stand firm and get through any challenge or difficulty. Just as Robert Ray wrote in his song, we too have to claim that powerful foundation of faith that will help us maintain hope, help us maintain perspective, help us to stay in love, even during challenging times. Now, song is just one way. That's the way I connect. How do you connect with your faith? What do you do? Some people will read the Bible. We should be reading the Bible. Because just like a tree that needs constant water, we need to be constantly filled through preparing for our faith. Regular faithful practices. It could be through prayer or meditation or attending church or studying scripture. Being part of a community faith strengthens your faith muscles. When you look to others who believe in God, you are strengthened. Isn't that awesome? And by nurturing our faith, we nurture the faith of others who sit beside you and provide support and encouragement. And you can develop strong roots, roots that will provide stability and purpose and spiritual growth in your life. Recently, I learned more about trees, specifically the sequoia tree. We don't have sequoias here in Texas, I don't think. The big ones you'll find in California. And I learned that the sequoia tree can grow to be some 311 feet tall. I think that's the tallest one. And that is 26 stories tall. And it has a circumference of 25 feet. One tree. That's bigger than some of our city blocks, right? And what I learned about these trees is that they do not have deep roots. No. Their roots are pretty shallow, and they're along the top, and they root with other trees and other things growing in their forest. They're all rooted together, these sequoia trees, and when a storm hits, the tree cannot fall because it relies on the others to hold it firm. It literally holds each other up. Now, sadly, many of us are not like the sequoia trees. We want to be self-sufficient. We want to be rooted, strong, capable enough to take care of ourselves, solve our own problems, overcome our own challenges. I didn't get an amen to that, Christian. Because we think we can do it all, and we don't need no help. And when a crisis hits, and we're alone, we don't have any help in dealing with it. And we don't let anyone else know what's going on. But this is not how God created us to live. We are made to derive our strength from the powers outside of us. We are meant to be rooted in Christ with our foundational strength in the source beyond ourselves. And when the storms of life hit, we can withstand them, not by the depth of our roots, but by the strength of the ones we're connected to. That's how we're going to make it. That's how we're going to survive any crisis. And the bad news is, you cannot do life alone. The good news is, you don't have to. One of the strengths of our faith as United Methodists comes from being rooted, connected together with God and each other. This week, as you consider your own faith and your own life, what's your foundation look like? Look around you and look for areas that you can deepen your faith. Consider sharing your faith with others through acts of kindness and service. Be mindful that you are connected to the United Methodist Church in the strong foundation of faith, rooted in love. And just as the sequoia tree stands tall and strong, rooted together, may our faith be the foundation in which we build our lives so that we will weather every storm in life and we will reach out to others together as a family of God. That is my belief. That is my faith. And that is my prayer for us. And if you agree, will you say amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Este es uno de los momentos más hermosos en mi vida, cuando vengo el domingo a la iglesia, o entre semana, o cuando hay actos especiales.
This is one of the most favorite moments when I come to church every day.
Porque veo que mi ofrenda está invertida en la iglesia.
Because I see that my offering it is invested in church.
Hoy tuvimos un día maravilloso con esas criaturas que tocaron las campanas. Gracias, hermano, y gracias, Katy, y todos los que son administradoras de la música aquí. Qué bonito.
We had a beautiful service, you know, beautiful performance by the young children, you know, the lighting God, and thank you all of you that are in the musical ministry for everything that you do.
¿Y qué tal si llegáramos con un calorón de los que suele hacer en San Antonio y no tuviéramos aire acondicionado?
What if we show up to church and imagine with this weather Texas and we didn't have no AC? Would be crazy.
Y muchas, muchas cosas más.
And many other things.
Y por eso me gusta ofrendar.
And because of that I like to give.
Porque Dios ama al dador alegre.
Because God loves a cheerful giver.
Yes.
That's my translation. I don't know. It might not be like that in the Bible. Okay, Clarita, thank you. Okay, so my name is Georgette Chapa, and I didn't have the opportunity to introduce myself early, but this is my mom. I call her Clarita. Her name is Ophelia. And what I like to give to the church. I have so many reasons. But I brought a little something here. My heart is full of joy and gratitude every day, and I thank God for allowing me to wake up either to a rainy day, a cloudy day, or a bright sunny day. I am humbled for the opportunity to make a difference in people's lives, or with the people I work with, and in the people that I love. I give to my church because I have faith in God and trust, and because it is my commitment to God. Even when I might not be deserving, God reminds me that I am his child. So, and I also have great models. My mother, of course, you know, she always told me, you give God to what it belongs to God, the rest, that's something else. But you always made that commitment. I also have another great model. It was my mother-in-law. And she always had plenty to give to people, especially a blessing. Every morning, I would call her on my way to work, and I would wait for that blessing every day. And then, the beauty of it, I was also blessed with my husband, my mother-in-law's son, one of 12. And also, any people that came through her house, you know, through her door, they were blessed with her delightful flour tortillas made from scratch every day. And those tortillas, there's no one that can match them. Even though she taught me how to make them, because I didn't know how to make them, they were just very unique to the taste. So, yes, there's a lot of blessings that we receive every day. And I am very glad and honored and humbled to have the opportunity to give back a little something back to our church. Would the ushers please come forward to receive our morning offering?
Oremos, Dios Santo y Eterno, siempre estamos agradecidos por las tantas bendiciones. Tu presencia inquebrantable nos guía y tu amor nos sostiene. Con ese espíritu de agradecimiento ofrecemos estos regalos, un símbolo de nuestra fe en tus provisiones, que se utilicen para difundir tu mensaje, ayudar a los necesitados y construir tu comunidad y un testimonio de nuestra creencia inquebrantable de tu voluntad. Oramos con fe. Amén.
Let us pray. Holy and everlasting God, We are ever grateful for your many blessings. Your unwavering presence guides us, and your love sustains us. In this spirit of thankfulness, we offer these gifts, a symbol of our faith in your provisions. May they be used to spread your message, help those in need, and build your community in a testament to our unwavering belief in your goodness. We pray in faith. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. We do things together to learn more about our connection. I hope you learned a little bit more about what it means to be United Methodist today, and you're still happy about that decision you made. I know I am. And we also talk about our discipleship, because Wesley said that faith without action is kind of dead. It could have been in the Bible, with cheerful giving. So what that means is we have some requirements to our faith, and it's called discipleship. Some of that discipleship is learning to grow as a disciple of Christ. Some of it is giving. Some of it is going out. But all of it is serving others in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And so every week we say our discipleship statement together with our mission is. So we're going to say it first in English, see? Yes. And then we'll say it in Spanish, okay? So join one or both as we say what our mission is together. The mission of Helotes Hills United Methodist Church is to grow and nurture disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and the world.
La misión de la Iglesia Metodista Unida a Helotes Hills es hacer crecer, nutrir discípulos en Jesucristo para transformación de nuestra comunidad y del mundo.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
You speak so fast, it's hard for me to follow. But she's trying to teach me. You can't teach all old dogs new tricks. Okay, so as we leave our time here together, if you are not yet a member of this church or you'd like to be a member of this church, all you have to do is ask. We won't make you do a creed or anything silly like that, but we'll ask if you want to join us anytime. So, what a perfect ending for a perfect day in worship. Thank you, Kathy, and your team for all the music you provide. To Jesse for the little pequeños, what's they called?
Chiquitos.
Chiquitos. Thank you both for being here to expand our ability to communicate Christ's message with all people. It means so very much. And thank you for choosing to be here at church today. I pray that your foundation of faith is strong. And if you need any help or you have any questions, call her. No, I mean, you can call her. So I'm going to send you forth with this benediction. May God's love accompany you on the journey. May the light of Christ illuminate you. May the peace of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.
Que el amor de Dios los acompañe en su camino. Que la luz de Cristo los ilumine y que la paz del Espíritu Santo esté con ustedes siempre. Vayan en paz.
Amen. Amen. Then let us go forth in the peace of Christ. Thank you.